want to address today is the following. Take a kinetic equation with a collision kernel, and the question is, what is it possible to say about the smoothness of the solutions of such an equation, and especially what is the interaction between the x variable, the spatial variable, and the v variable, the velocity variable. So in the sequel, I will take an equation such as this one, that is, you have an advection part and you have a collisional part, and the unknown is the usual density of particles in the phase space. And for Q, I will take classical collision kernels from classical mechanics, that is, the linear Boltzmann kernel when particles are in a sea of obstacles, let's say, and the quadratic Boltzmann kernel when particles interact between themselves. Such kernels, in fact, can be classified, and the good classification with respect to smoothness is the following. The first category of kernels is the kernels which can be written in such a way that the cross-section inside, that is here, for in the case of a linear kernel, the function k, and in the case of non-linear, the quadratic Boltzmann equation, what I have written here as b, so those cross-sections are supposed to be integrable, or at least locally integrable. So that is the first category, which I will call in the following regular integral kernels. When one speaks about the Boltzmann equation, sometimes this is called cutoff or angular cutoff Boltzmann equation. Note that Hartsfield enters this category. The second one is concerns the cases in which the kernel that you have in the linear case are such that the cross-section is not integrable anymore. And this is due to the presence of a lot of grazing collisions. So many grazing collisions that there is an infinite number of collisions in any time. And as a result, the angular cross-section that you have here in the linear case is only locally integrable outside from zero. But close to zero, it looks like theta to the minus 1 minus gamma, with gamma between 0 and 2. So this is typically not integrable. And in the nonlinear case, I will consider kernels such as the Boltzmann kernel, in which you have here the usual ingoing and outgoing velocities, and you have a part of the cross-section which is sometimes called the kinetic part of the cross-section, which is, as usual, let's say, integrable, but the angular part of the cross-section, that is a part which depends upon an angle which is basically the angle between the ingoing and the outgoing velocities in the center of mass reference frame. So this this cross-section, this angular cross-section, is once again behaves like theta to the minus 1 minus gamma, with gamma between 0 and 2. Now this case corresponds exactly to what happens when you consider collisions coming out of the interaction of particles with a potential in 1 over r to the something. And so one should consider that this kind of kernel is much more corresponds much more to the reality for molecules than the regular kernels. No, it doesn't work for Coulomb. This works exactly up to the Coulomb case. And so the final case is exactly the Coulomb case. And in the Coulomb case, you have to replace, Coulomb case would correspond to gamma equal 2 in the previous slide, and then the kernel would not have any meaning. So instead, one has to replace this Boltzmann kernel by, let's say in the linear case, the standard Fokker-Planck kernel with diffusion friction, and in the nonlinear case, by the so-called Landau kernel of plasma physics. That is a kernel in which you have, once again, some cross-section here, which in the Coulomb case is exactly 1 over V minus V star. And you have here a matrix, which is the matrix of the projection upon the space, which is orthogonal to V minus V star. And here you have this complicated formula, which is quadratic in F. Okay. So those are the three types of kernels I want to investigate. Let me immediately say that what is expected is the following. For regular integral kernels, such as the first one that I showed to you, what is expected is the following. Smoothness should be propagated. So if you put, let's say, some initial data in HS, Sobolev space, then it will remain in this space when t goes on. But also singularities are propagated. That is, if it is not in HS initially, there is no hope that it will be in HS later. And in fact, as we will see in a few minutes, you can prove a little more than that. What you can prove is that singularities are propagated along characteristics, which are here, XV gives X plus TVV, and they are exponentially damped. Okay, but they persist up to T goes to infinity. Okay. Now the behavior is completely different in the case of singular integrals or in the case of differential operators such as Landau operator. What you expect here is that you have a smoothing effect which you can immediately see. As soon as T is strictly positive, what you expect is that whatever the initial datum, the solution F of T, X, and V should be smooth. And the important thing is that it should be smooth in the V variable, of course, because you had a diffusion in V somehow, some kind of diffusion, but also in the X variable. So you have a behavior which is comparable to the behavior of the heat equation in both X and V variables, and in fact also in the T variable, but this is not very important. So this is what is expected. Now let me show you what is the strategy to prove such properties. In the regular case, that is when you have a kernel which is integrable, what you have to do first is to write down the equation in such a way that you put the gain term on one side and you keep the loss term here, and you write the loss term as F times something. And in this way, you end up with two kernels. The first one is just the gain part of the Boltzmann operator, and the second one is just a convolution kernel which involves the cross-section B. Once this is written in this way, you can begin to prove a few things. The first thing, which is not so easy to prove, is that those two kernels, with respect to the variable V, are more regular than F itself. Now this is very obvious, let's say, for the linear part, which is really a convolution. So B will typically be in some Sobolev space, so you really gain some smoothness in V with the kernel L. But what is not so easy to prove is that it's exactly the same for the kernel Q plus, which is a quadratic kernel. And this was proven first, I think, by Pierre-Louis Lyons about 10 years ago, and now there have been a lot of simplified proofs, and I just wanted to cite the proof by Bernd Wennberg, the one that François Bouchu and myself wrote down a few years ago. And there are also a proof by Xugang Liu and a proof by Cédric Villani. All of them are very different.
Mm-hmm.
This is with cutoff, so regular kernel, let's say kernel which is integrable. It's not exactly the same. The results are comparable. It's not. It's never exactly the same, but the results are quite close. But the proofs are really completely different. Now the second step is the following. In fact, L of F. Let's look first at L of F. L of F is also an average in V of F. For more precisely, if I show you once again L. L, as you can see. Just down here, L is a convolution in the V variable. So this is really an average with respect to V star, okay, of the function F. So thanks to the averaging lemmas, the standard ones, the ones which were first proven by François Goltz, Benoît Pertam, Pierre-Louis Lyons, and Rémy Santis, L of F is also more regular than F with respect to the X variable. Okay, and so for this part, for L of F, this is finished. It's more regular in the V variable because it's a convolution, and in the X variable because it is an average. Okay. Now, this is not true for Q plus. Q plus is not an average of F with respect to the V variable. However, when you you take the averages of Q plus of F, then you can write it in terms of average of F. Okay. So you can do the same for this quantity, which is the average of Q plus with respect to V, and you can so you can prove that this quantity is also more regular than F with respect to X. And now comes the last part, the last step that you have to use, and this is really there that you have the interaction between the X and the V variables. And here is a typical lemma that you can use. Suppose that you have a function of two variables which is regular somehow in the V variable. Suppose also that its averages in V, which are functions of X, are regular in the X variable. And finally, you suppose that this regularity can be measured in terms of the regularity of the averaging function. So you have finally three differentiable F spaces here, and you suppose that all of them have a strictly positive exponent. So this is not so important for this one, of course, but for the two others, it's decisive. Then you can prove that J is itself in a Sobolev space of both variables, and the exponent, the order of this Sobolev space, can be computed according to P, Q, and R. So this is really an interaction between the X and the V variables here. So once you use this lemma for Q+, and you write down the Duhamel formula for the solution of the Boltzmann equation, so here is the solution F of the Boltzmann equation. As you can, you can see really what happened. This part involves Q plus and L, so it is more regular than F. So from the point of view of smoothness, you can really discard all this part of the solution. This is what comes out of the gain term. And the rest is exactly the initial datum taken along the characteristics time something which is also smooth. So you really have propagation of regularity and singularities and exponential decay of the singularities because of the exponential here. Here is one precise theorem corresponding to all this strategy. This was proven with Laurent Boudin 2 years ago. So you take a cross-section, which is Lipschitz, for example. You take an initial datum, which is close to zero in the sense that it is smaller than some Maxwellian with a constant which is small enough. And then you can prove that F has exactly the regularity of this initial datum taken at X minus VT. And the two other terms are in some Sobolev space with order strictly bigger than zero, and the computation gains 1 over 25. So it's not so good. Minus zero, so strictly less than 1 over 25. But it's not been optimized, so you can probably get up to 1 over 15 or something like that, if you have the courage to. Now let me say a few words about what happens in the case of Landau's equation. So in the case of Landau's equation, you really have this projection here And these two derivatives in V here, so it really looks like a diffusion. And you have an extra term here, which is in fact not a derivative because you can integrate by parts with respect to V star here. So in this kernel, the important part, from the point of view of smoothness, is really this part, which is the diffusive part. So now, if you write it like the diffusive part here, so I have called nu f this big integral here. So if you write it like that, and you call j this part which is dominated somehow from the point of view of smoothness, if you do that, you immediately get the estimate that f typically has one gradient with respect to v in L2. So this is not completely true in the sense that nu f could be zero somewhere, but well, this is almost true. No, but this one, let's say this one is of lower order, so it can be discarded. Nu of f is a notation for all this convolution here. Once again, using the averaging lemmas, but this time you have to use an averaging lemma which is a little more complicated than the first one, because you have derivatives in V in the right-hand side. So you have to use a version which was first proven, I think, by Pierre-Louis Lyons and Ronald Dipana, and which was really devised first for the Vlasov-Maxwell equation. So use it, and what you get is that the averages with respect to V of f are more regular than f in the x variables. Now, you can once again use this lemma of interaction between x and V, and what you will get at the end, if everything goes well, is that for t strictly positive, f of t, x, and v will be more regular than the initial datum with respect to both x and v. So this is not just an effect of the diffusion in V, it's also the effect of this averaging lemma plus interaction between x and v. If you want really to prove a theorem, then I mean, this is a strategy. Now, if you want to prove a theorem, you need to have a good notion of solutions. Unfortunately, Yan Guo recently proved that there are solutions which are smooth enough in order to do all this business. And those are solutions which have an initial datum which is close to equilibrium in a certain Sobolev space. So this is a work in progress with Laurent Boudin. At what we hope to prove, but this is not yet written, I think, is that if you take an initial datum which is small in the sense that it is close to a Maxwellian in some Sobolev space, then f becomes infinity as soon as t is strictly positive. Actually, this exactly corresponds to the linear case in the use of the hypoellipticity theorem of Fermat, which tells you basically that since the brackets between V gradient X and gradient V are well behaved, then the equation is hypoelliptic and you gain immediately smoothness with respect to all variables. And I also should quote a result which is a result of marginal gain of smoothness by Pierre-Louis Lyons, which says basically that for renormalized solutions, if you take a sequence of weak L1 compact initial data, then it becomes strongly compact as soon as t is strictly positive. So it's. I have still 5 minutes, maybe? Or? Okay, perfect. So now comes the most difficult case, which is the intermediate case between the regular integral and the differential operator, that is, the singular integral. And in such a case, the vague idea is that all this kernel here is more or less reminiscent of some fractional power of the Laplacian in V. So you have a diffusion, but not a complete diffusion. It's a fractional diffusion somehow. And you still have a coefficient here which might become zero at some point, so it's quite complicated. The expected behavior, nevertheless, is the same. You hope that this will be smooth in all variables. There are very few results about that. There is the equivalent of the Lyons result of passage from weak L1 compactness to strong L1 compactness, which has been done by Raja Alexandre and Cédric Villani 2 years ago, I think. And there is a proof of that by François Goltz and myself, but not really on this model, but on a model which looks like it and in which some of the difficulties have been put away. So, It means that, by looks vaguely, nothing else but looks vaguely. It's really just that. So, yeah, but I cannot say more than that in the sense that it's really not the same. It just has the same flavor. Note that in this case we still have point one, that is the regularity with respect to V. And this has been done 4 years ago by Raja Alexandre, Cédric Villani, Bernd Weinberg, and myself. And this is this estimate, which is a dissipation of entropy estimate in the case of the non-cutoff Boltzmann equation, which tells you basically that the dissipation of entropy, which is something that you know to be finite as soon as the initial datum is good enough, this is bigger than some Sobolev norm, which is gamma minus 1 over 2. And you have a few coefficients here which basically do not involve derivatives. So that you have, it's the same, let's say, at the first step, which would correspond in the case of a diffusion to integrating by F and integrating by parts. This is quite difficult to obtain, and the locality here is one of the issues. What is completely missing is the fourth part, that is the existence of good solutions for this model. We actually, with Yan Guo, we have been looking a little to that, but it seems quite difficult. So we hope to have someday such solutions. I can use the minute maybe that I still have for saying that thanks to this identity, actually we are able to prove with Bernd Weinberg that something that I announced, in fact, I think 8 years ago now in a meeting in Princeton, holds. That is, if you take the spatially homogeneous equation, the equation without dependence with respect to x, then as soon as the initial datum is in as finite entropy and energy, then the solution is in fact in Schwarz space F. And this is true for reasonable potentials, let's say. Here's my last slide. Here's my last slide. I would just say a word concerning the large time behavior of the Boltzmann equation. Recently, with Cédric Villani, we proved a result in which basically we say the following. You take a bounded regular open set of R to the 3 without axis of symmetry. And you take a good solution of the Boltzmann equation on this domain with a reasonable cross-section, and you assume that you have specular reflection boundary conditions. Then here is the big assumption. You suppose that this solution has all the smoothness that you need. That is, you suppose that you have all Sobolev norms in X and V, and all momenta with respect to V. Suppose that you have such a solution. Then it's possible to prove that F converges to the global equilibrium, that is Maxwellian, which is independent of X, as rapidly as any inverse of polynomial. And the constants here are completely explicit and depend on the geometry of the domain. So this is a motivation. So this is Boltzmann or Landau. Boltzmann or Landau? No, no, it's, there is almost no hypothesis. I mean, the cross-section must not be zero, or you will never get to the Maxwellian. But I mean, any reasonable cross-section is okay. But then you are not sure that such a thing is verified by the solution. So, okay. So now this is a motivation to study the smoothness, of course, and. So let me say that thanks to the solutions by Guo, we have at least context in which this is proven. So this is a real theorem. It is not an if theorem, if you wish. We have at least a few situations in which we know how to prove this. And all of this could be understood in the following way. If you have a situation in which you don't have cutoff, or if you look at the Landau operator, then whatever the initial datum, this will be true, basically. And so it holds without taking a smooth initial datum. Now, if you look at the regular Boltzmann equation, you know that singularities are propagated, so you cannot hope for this. However, if you take an initial datum which is singular, then what will happen is that the singularity will decrease exponentially fast. And because of that, you will still almost have this. That is, you will have this plus a small reminder which goes very rapidly to zero. And so you can still use the machinery here to prove the same. So this should hold whatever the initial datum as soon as you are in a setting in which you know that there are solutions. So you should not begin with renormalized solutions. You have to take solution close to zero or close to equilibrium or something like that. Okay, so I think I will stop here. Thank you for your attention.